Hello, critics, non-critics, and friends. Welcome to the Film Optics Podcast, where we take a glance into blockbusters, indie films, and everything in between. I'm your host, Christian, and as always, I'm accompanied by my partner in film, Devin. And today, we're here to present our review of Madam Web. And before we begin today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on podcast platforms around the internet. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. And if you are a new or seasoned listener to the show, we would love to hear from you guys. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at FilmOptics. That is Optics with an X. Or you can email us at FilmOptics@gmail.com for any movie-related questions. Devin, the three-day weekend is here as of recording. It's a three-day weekend for us. Do you have anything planned? You going out with the boys, staying in, chilling with the fam? What are you doing?
But what's the, was it President's Day or something Monday? What is it?
Yeah, President's Day.
I guess I should ask if I even have it off. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Yeah, definitely get with your team. Be like, yo, do we got that three-day weekend? I didn't realize it until Wednesday. And that made it worse for the rest of the week since we're recording this on a Friday, February 16th, 2024. But it was worse that I found out on a Wednesday because it made the week that much longer, knowing that I was going into a three-day weekend because I was cruising Monday, Tuesday, halfway through Wednesday, cruising. We had a meeting, bam. And we were, you know, talking about stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, they're like, everyone have a great three-day weekend. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, it's President's Day. And I was like, huh, did not know that. So naturally, like I said, the rest of the week just drug on. So here we are. It's a Friday, so it doesn't even matter anymore. So happy Friday. But do you, regardless of you not knowing, if you have a three-day weekend, do you have any plans this weekend? Or are you just chilling?
Just chilling. Don't really have anything planned. We'll see what unfolds. I don't know what my future looks like.
That's the best thing about the future, Devin. It hasn't happened yet. But yeah, I
in
totally
your future, I see you watching Madam Web two times.
Oh no. Once was enough. But yeah, I think the best time is, you know, during. I think the best plan for a weekend is to have no plans. Unless it's like some kind of, you know, monumental thing, you're doing like a friend's birthday or something. But yeah, I don't have anything really as of right now, nothing concrete. I might be going to a comedy show on Saturday, so that'll be a lot of fun. But outside of that, I got nothing. So I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to let the webs weave themselves, weave my future into, you know, existence. And maybe I'll become something more by the end of the weekend. But as we mentioned before, we are going to be giving our review of Madam Web. We are going to be splitting this review into two sections. We're going to be giving our non-spoiler section review first because there's a lot of things we want to talk about in a timely fashion. So we're going to give our non-spoiler section first for anyone out there who wants to watch the movie, you know, form your own opinions. We think people should form their own opinions. You know, we're just two guys talking about movies and giving our opinions, our thoughts of what we thought of our experience was with this film or whatever else that we cover here on the show. So definitely do not let our takes influence yours. You know, if you're excited to see Madam Web, if you're a Dakota Johnson fan, if you're a Sydney Sweeney fan, go for it. You know, have fun. And that's pretty much what it's all about. But on the latter half of this episode, we'll be getting into spoilers. And I'll let you guys know prior to us diving into spoilers when we get to that point. So you don't have to worry about us just diving into that section. So you will be warned prior to. So without further delay, we'll be right back after this introduction to Madam Web.
A week ago, I spent my life racing against time.
I'm gonna help you out today, okay?
Trying to save people who were running out of it.
Jesse!
Until one moment, changed everything.
Come on!
Welcome back to the land that we're living.
I don't understand what's happening. I've been having visions. I knew he was gonna die. I think I'm seeing the future.
New York City's a whole new level of crazy these days.
And we are back with our Madam Web review. This film is directed by S.J. Clarkson, and the writers include Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless, and Claire Parker, and stars Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, and Isabella Merced, just to name a few. There's a few other little surprise actors in here that I did not know about, but yeah. And the story is as follows. Cassandra Webb is a New York metropolis paramedic who begins to demonstrate signs of clairvoyance, forced to challenge revelations about her former. She needs to safeguard three young women from a deadly adversary who wants to destroy them. Dun, dun, dun.
So ominous and scary.
It sounds very scary. Like, forced to challenge revelations about her former, and she needs to safeguard three young women from a deadly adversary who wants to destroy them. That is edgy stuff right there. But as we mentioned, we're going to get into our spoiler-free thoughts here of this film. So, Devin, I'm going to pass it over to you. Did you see this on Valentine's Day? Did you spend your Valentine's Day in the theater seeing Madam Web?
No, this was not a Valentine's Day watch for me. I am curious to see if there were actually couples going to this, though.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. I think I mentioned it on another episode. I actually went out to like a friend's birthday because his birthday was on Valentine's Day. So that's kind of how I spent mine. But Devin, I'm going to pass it over to you so you can give your initial thoughts on Madam Web.
Oh, boy. So going into this one, it was hard to ignore the reviews that were like piling in up until the release of this one, because they were not good, pretty unanimously, from the critics' side. Just not a well-reviewed movie, and it kept dropping throughout the week as well. Like, it started off around, like, I want to say it was like 20s or 30s, and now it's sitting at, I want to say it's at a 16 currently.
I can confirm that for you. So currently, it is sitting at a 13% on the critic side.
So it's gone even lower.
And a 53% on the audience score.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps dropping. So going into it, you just kind of have that thought in the back of your head, like, oh, this is going to be really, really bad. And unfortunately, it holds true. It's kind of impressive how bad it is in certain ways, because you're just sitting there watching it and you're like, how do these decisions get made? Like, there's just so much wrong with it. Not necessarily all technically, but just the story in general and some of the, like, most of the dialogue in it. And then the actors don't really seem like they're giving their all. They're just kind of going with the flow, going with what they were given. And I know there were a lot of rewrites and reshoots that kind of changed the original story that they may have signed up for, may have thought they signed up for. But it just ends up being like a total mess at the end of the day. And I don't really feel bad, but I know Dakota Johnson's been on this press train and kind of saying a lot of funny things about how she's not going to watch the movie. She doesn't know anything about the movie. She doesn't really care about the outcome. It just kind of shows, like, this is not what she signed up for. I feel like she actually thought she was signing up for an MCU movie. And people need to realize that there is a strong disconnect between the MCU and the Sony Cinematic Universe, whatever they're actually calling it, like the Sony-verse. What did they end up going with, SSU or SCU?
I think it was like SPU or SMSP. I don't know.
It should be SUS because it's all sus.
Oh, got him. got him. Adam Webb. Is what they should call this.
Because I just feel like there are like general audience out there that will think this is just a general Marvel movie when it's not. And that's been a big discourse that we've seen online where people are trying to make sure like this is a really bad movie and it shouldn't be used against other comic book movies. Like this is like below, like it's just, it's worse than any of that. I honestly think it probably is worse than Morbius, which is saying a lot.
They're both bad. Like you cannot polish a turd either way, but I'm like, if you had to give me a choice between both movies, I don't think I would watch either or. So I wanted to touch on something that you had said before I kind of get into my initial reactions. The first of it being people thinking that this is part of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think this also, I don't know if we really talked about it here on the podcast, but we've kind of joked about it, like, you know, behind closed doors, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, can Sony just sell the Spider-Man film rights back to Marvel? Because it's starting to create a mess. And I've said this on multiple occasions before. Sony Pictures, they're very good at creating the illusion that they own everything Spider-Man related when it comes to their Spider-Man films, television shows. Not saying that they haven't created a Spider-Man television show before, because they have, but they create this like smoke and mirrors thing of like, yeah, Sony owns everything Spider-Man. And like, I kid you not, I'm not even sure if you saw this towards the end of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, one of the trailers that kept playing. The last thing that they show at the end of every single trailer is a PlayStation 5, because Sony just has multiple deals with Marvel. So, because you have the film rights, you know, there's all these Spider-Man films ever since Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. So it's been a while. And you also have the Spider-Man games that came out on PlayStation. And that is a separate deal between Marvel and Insomniac and Sony altogether. But yeah, they do a great job of creating that illusion. And I think it's starting to murk up the water, because you also have the Spider-Man MCU movies, which is a collaboration between Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures. But it's really just Marvel doing the legwork, and they're using the Spider-Man film properties from the Sony side. For those who don't know, when Marvel almost went like bankrupt like decades ago, and they had to sell off a lot of their film rights in order to stay afloat. And that included the Spider-Man film rights that went to Sony, and then Deadpool, X-Men, Fantastic Four, all of those went to Fox at the time before Disney now bought them. So that's the reason why Sony still has the film rights to Spider-Man. And one of the caveats in the agreements or the deals between, you know, Sony or Marvel selling over the Spider-Man film rights to Sony is that Sony has to make a Spider-Man related film every so years. I forgot how many years it is, or else they lose the license together, which is why I think we're getting all of these like half-baked films. Honestly, even starting from like The Amazing Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, going all the way up to now. And obviously there are anomalies to that, which comes like to the Spider-Verse films, but everything from like Venom 1 and 2 and then Venom Let There Be Carnage, Madame Web, and now in Morbius, and we're getting a Venom 3 and a Kraven the Hunter movie. It's muddying up the water a lot, and I think people are starting to get confused, because this Madame Web film is its own movie. It's its own self-contained movie. We don't get a lot of those like superhero movies anymore, but I think there's a reason for that, because we kind of left those like back in like the early 2000s for like a certain reason. And you know, now we've had better films, but there's that. And I think when you were talking about Dakota Johnson being confused, and I don't know if she was kidding or not, because like she sounds very bland when it comes to like just any interview. She sounds very disinterested, like she has something else better to do, and it's like I can't tell if she's joking or not. That's like what I'm trying to get at. It's like, did she know? Because I think she talked to Elizabeth Olsen. She ran into her about, you know, doing a superhero movie. So maybe she did think she was in an MCU movie, because she had gone on record saying, yeah, it's an MCU movie with Sydney Sweeney. And it's like, well, it's a Marvel movie, but it's not an MCU movie. But I mean, let me know if I'm making any sense here or not. But as far as...
That's what it all seems like.
Yeah. And that was like a long-winded way of me just saying, you know, getting the information out there. But it's like, there's just so much happening where it's like, nowadays, when people think Spider-Man, they think Tom Holland. They think the three Spider-Man movies that we've had within through Marvel Studios. And they also think Miles Morales. But I think the reason why it's easier to distinct the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the Spider-Verse movies is because Peter is not Afro-Latino. They are two different races of Spider-Men, but they're both Spider-Man. So it's like you have that disconnect. Also, one's live action and one's animated. So you're able to say, okay, this is in this universe, and this is a separate story following Miles Morales and his friends. And then you have Peter with Tom Holland and his friends. So it's easy to distinguish. But now you're throwing in all these random Spider-Man-less movies where Spider-Man's not even in them, or like variations of spider people, spider women or whatnot. And it's not the fact that it's spider women. It's just the movie itself is not good. And I tweeted saying that Madame Web, and this isn't supposed to be an origin story, by the way, Madame Web suffers from abysmal editing and writing, coupled with a lackluster villain whose motivations are shallow and gives us a mere edgelord version of Spider-Man. And the characters lack any chemistry, and they totally catfished us on those Spider-Women suits. And it was such a letdown, because I wanted to see that. I was like, oh, these suits actually look really cool. Like, I want to see Sydney Sweeney and Isabella Merced and the rest of the cast. I want to see them kicking butt and taking names. Because I was like, yeah, that it's all over the marketing. Like, they do not.
Yeah, I guess that's a good time to jump into spoilers.
Yeah. And before we do, I wanted to ask, was there anything else you wanted to mention? Because I apologize for hogging the mic. I was just like, this movie was just not, it was not good.
Yeah, I think it's just spoiler time. Just let it all out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize for that little rant that I had. It's just, we've seen so many of these movies, and it's like, okay, when the question is, when do we get enough? Like, when is enough when it comes to these Spider-Man-less films where they're kind of one-offs and they're clearly just there to, you know, keep those rights. Let's get into the spoiler section of Madame Web. So if you have not seen the movie as of right now, please turn back. Go watch it. Form your own opinions. You know, we're just here talking the talk. We're here talking about what works for us, what doesn't. Unfortunately, it's leaning towards more so of the negative. And we're not trying to sound pessimistic or anything. It's just when you've watched as many movies as we have, especially with having the podcast, it's like you start to notice things. There's a few weird editing things that happen in this movie as well. But let's get into the spoiler section here. So we are now in spoiler territory, and man, oh man,
I was just gonna say, the main thing that I was gonna say is a spoiler is that we get Spider-Woman in costume for about 1 minute of the entire movie, give or take. And yeah, it's like a hazy hypothetical like scenario that doesn't even end up happening in the movie, in the actual story. So it's like a fake scene at that.
So I will say I knew I had someone tell me something that happened in the movie or a aspect of the movie, which I didn't really care if it was like spoiled for me or not. But this person had told me that Ezekiel, which is the main villain of Madame Web, when it comes to the suits, you know, of seeing these spider women in the suits, you know, kicking butt, taking names, it's all just like visions and you barely see them. And that was something I was like, well, that's kind of disappointing. I wasn't entirely sure if it was true or not, but after seeing it, yeah,
it's about a minute,
maybe 2 minutes I'll give them, because yeah, they showed a little bit of the visions during the beginning, because Ezekiel has these spider powers and he has these visions of these three spider women killing him, like destroying him. So he's trying to do the whole, like,
it's like they're doing a Terminator thing.
Yes. Terminator is a better analogy. So yeah, it's a Terminator thing where, oh, I have to destroy or kill these three girls before they kill me in the future. And then all my problems will be solved. And it doesn't work. There's a lot of bullet points, and I wanted to play a little game called Can You Guess Which Is the Lie? there's a lot of things that happen here, and it's so the three spider women issue that we're talking about now is, you know, they never get powers. They're only seen in costume during dream sequences. And it's like, it's a little bit during the beginning and then a little bit towards the end, and then that's it. But it's all over in the marketing, and that's the issue. It's like, you can't keep showing these suits. It's like, oh, you know, it's going to be like your traditional comic book film where it is an origin story. It is an origin story for Madame Web, but it's a weird origin story because Madame Web is is born in a cave in Peru with the help of magic spider people, and her mother dies during childbirth. It's weird. So like, you know, you had sent me the Can You Guess Which Is the Lie thing, where it's listing off all these things that happened in the film. And two of them we just mentioned, with the Peru situation and the spider women never getting their powers, the dream sequences. And I was like, all these things happen. And then like the very small at the very bottom, it says, yeah, these are actually all true. And it's like, evil Spider-Man, Ezekiel, Edgelord Spider-Man, is killed by a large Pepsi sign, which is like all over this movie. It's very weird. And then you have the Madame Web becomes wanted for kidnapping by the NYPD, which was insane. There's just a lot that happens in this movie.
And it's still able to travel to Peru despite being wanted for kidnapping. She just like magically arrives in Peru instantly.
She was like, I have to go somewhere really quick. And then just next scene, she's there. And I was like, how did you get past customs?
How long was that plane ride?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. But there's another thing. And again, it sounds like we're nitpicking, but it's like, we're just trying to talk about the movie as is, where Madame Web leaves the three girls and the forest, and she's like, I'll be gone for 3 hours. She says that midday. It's like noon. And by the time that they're waiting, it's like dusk. I'm like, that is way longer than they've been out there for like 6 to 7 hours tops. Because by the time they get fed up by waiting for Madame Web or Cassie to come back, it's like 7 o'clock, you know, dusk has come. It is nighttime right before they go to the diner. But yeah, it's weird because, like you said, it's hard not to have a positive mindset going into this movie, because the movie got dragged through the mud, honestly, even before we saw the trailers, because everyone's like, oh, we're getting a Madame Web movie.
It's that. And then also the movie itself just sets it up to where there's already just a negative viewpoint on everything. Because what rubbed me the wrong way was the very beginning, where obviously, what's her name? Madame Webb's name. Cassandra Webb and Ben Parker are co-workers. They're both medics, EMTs. And they save this man's life, and then they get back to the hospital. And it was a man or a woman, but they save their life. And then the son, little boy, comes up and gives her a little thank you note, and they both don't know what to do with it. And then Ben Parker's like, just throw it away in a different room. Like, what do you mean? How do you not know? Like, it's a cute little boy giving you a thank you for saving their parent's life. Just, you're supposed to know what that is and accept that. Like, do you not like helping people? Like, what? It's like, why do they have that nihilistic viewpoint on life? And like, from the very beginning, it's just hard to like get invested in these characters when that's the way they think. It doesn't make any sense.
That, and also Mike Epps is in this movie for a bit. And it's weird because, you know, he has a death scene. He's in the movie for not even 5 minutes. He has a death scene, and then it's like the movie wants you to care about, he's also a paramedic, like one of Cassie's higher ups. And it's like, I felt like the movie was trying to get me to care about Mike Epps' death. And like, I literally met this man 2 minutes ago. Like, they were at a barbecue, you know, everyone from the paramedic scene, they're, you know, hanging out, doing their thing. And then that's it, you know. And we have Uncle Ben is in this movie for some reason. I don't know why. And Peter Parker is also in this movie. He's born, but he's not.
Mary Parker is in this one. His mom, Emma Roberts, for some reason. And then they keep doing the name tease. Like, oh, what should we name him? Oh, I don't know. What should we name him? Oh, my God. It's going to be Peter, right?
And then Ben's like, oh, I met someone.
Yeah, they couldn't even say that name.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, what's his name? What's her name? And then he's like, no, I don't want to jinx it. And then, look, we know it's May.
That's just how muddied this entire Sony franchise is. Like, they can't even use the names of these characters like correctly, or they might not even be allowed to. I don't know how it all works, but
no, they definitely can. They can.
But even Sydney's character, her name is Julia Cornwall. It's supposed to be Julia Carpenter, is it not?
That I would have to double check. I cannot confirm or deny, but.
Yeah, but it's like that Spider-Woman's name is Julia Carpenter everywhere else.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, yeah, they do change it. So it is Julia Carpenter in Marvel's comics. I don't know why. Yeah, so I'm on like the Marvel database thing and they say Julia Carpenter and then in parentheses it says Cornwall. So maybe it's a family thing where, because she did say that her mother died. And she's staying with her. I don't know. Maybe it's a family thing. It's same with Miles Morales.
But either way, it's just the issue where they are trying so desperately to have ties to Spider-Man without having anything to do with the actual Spider-Man. And it's the same thing with the Venom movies where they tease things at the end that are related to Spider-Man and they don't end up ever being anything. Same with the end of Morbius. This one didn't have anything out. Outlandish like that, but just still these loose little tie-ins that it's just like it's meaningless to the story and it doesn't help add anything and it's just pointless.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we have the Spider-Man film franchise, so let's just, you know, drop little Easter eggs. It's like we all know who Peter Parker is. It's like you don't have to add that stuff. Like if this is supposed to be a Madam Web origin, just give me a Madam Web origin. Like, don't pull this bait and switch where you're having three other Spider Women come in and you're riddling all of the marketing with like, oh my gosh, like all the press junkets that keep talking about like, oh, it was so cool to try on the suit. And it's like, that's great. Like, I think that's amazing, but it doesn't, like, if you're showing them for 2 minutes, like a minute during the beginning, a minute towards the end of like visions of it just doesn't add up. And
but also like, don't give me a Madam Web origin story as a whole movie. Like we said from the beginning that no one was asking for that, and that's just kind of them forcing Spider-Man characters into roles that are too large. Like Morbius is the huge example, obviously. Craven the Hunter, it's questionable, but we'll see how that ends up being. El Muerto is one that like, he's coming on like on and off production, like that.
Yeah.
Really small minor Spider-Man character from what everyone knows. It's like they cannot just be their own movies. It just doesn't work at the end of the day, and we're seeing that over and over again. Like Venom, sure, Venom's a big hero or like a big character that could work, but the other ones just like you're forcing it.
And honestly, I would, yeah, I agree with the others. You're forcing it with Morbius, Madam Web, and Kraven. I would even say with Venom, they kind of, they are, but they aren't, because Venom doesn't exist without Spider-Man. Like, and
he's at least a known character, though.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely one of, when it comes to like rogue gallery, like Spider-Man character or villains, he's definitely like up there at the top of the list. So yeah, I get that brand recognition. Yeah, people are gonna know who Venom is. So I understand that more. Well, it's weird because it's like Dakota Johnson doesn't really do anything in this movie either. She kind of just stands around. Like you see her doing like her job, you know, as a paramedic from time to time. She teaches the girls how to save someone's life, perform CPR. But it's
she's very good at driving ambulances. Like she can just through buildings and hitting people, hitting the bad guy, just complete accuracy and survives all of it. It's miraculous.
And it's like she splits into three ghost-like copies of herself near the end of the movie.
The entire ending scene was just like, it's just more like obnoxious, like visuals and CGI. Like they're at a fireworks factory, place? I guess.
Yeah.
There's no explaining it. It's just,
and for some reason it's the villain Ezekiel dies from
to the Pepsi sign
by a large, yeah. He gets killed by a large Pepsi sign. So I was like, oh, I don't know. It was just rough. And you know, I apologize for everyone out there listening. It's not that we're trying.
I feel like if you're listening to this, you're expecting to get torn apart a little bit.
It's weird. Cause like everyone loves Sydney Sweeney. I absolutely love Sydney Sweeney. Like I like Dakota Johnson in some of her films and others. It's like, she's cool. It's just, even like on the press tour, she was like, oh, like maybe I'll watch it someday. And like she was at the premiere, but I guess a lot of celebrities leave after like the red carpet. But it's like she just seems so disinterested in this movie.
And don't even get me started on the villain and his voice recordings that were so obviously ADR.
You noticed that too.
It was probably like 80% of his lines were completely recorded afterwards. And it was very obvious. And they all sounded awful.
Yeah, I actually, someone that I follow on Twitter, his name is Larry, follow him at Chili Boy Productions. He actually mentioned the same thing when it came to Ezekiel's performance. So he had tweeted saying, did they completely rewrite the script for Ezekiel and Madam Web after shooting? Because I'm trying to figure out why damn near every word to hear Raheem, the actor who plays Ezekiel, says in that movie is a voice over terribly edited during post production. So it's ADR, which is, you know, the whole, there are certain scenes where actors will come in after the fact and record certain voice dialogue lines for certain scenes to help them kind of mesh well together. But yeah, that was really weird, and I noticed that a lot, and I was like, yeah, you're right, it's like 80% of his lines, I'm like, even when he was speaking, it wasn't lining up with what he was saying. And I can't say it's like trash or anything, I just did not enjoy it. And I understand that a lot of people worked on this film when it comes to these types of movies, but I mean, at the same time, a lot of movies get made per year. And even though you have like the best intentions and the best effort move up, like foot forward, like with the best intentions of making a movie, sometimes it just doesn't stick. And I understand that studio interference is also a big factor as well. But, and we've known that this, like, there was a lot of reshoots and whatnot. And I was like, is this movie ever going to come out? And I guess, you know, we've seen it. And the weird thing is, you know, Columbia Pictures, which is owned by Sony, they're celebrating their 100th year anniversary this year. And this was the first film to use Columbia Pictures' 100th anniversary opening logo to celebrate the studio's centennial anniversary. And I was like, oh man, it's just not a good start. But I don't know, there's so much with this movie, and I know we've talked about, you know, Dakota Johnson hasn't seen the movie, and that just doesn't really help the marketing and whatnot. It's like, well, I feel like if you are a part of it, you should at least lie or something. I don't know.
I mean, they're all on a sinking ship, and they knew it.
Yeah.
Like by the time the movie rolled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a lot of unfortunate factors, and I don't know. But I do want to ask you, you know, I know we've been ripping on this movie, and this is usually not like our standard recording, because I do want to take the time. Was there any aspect of the film that you liked? Was there a certain line of dialogue? Was there a cool shot that you thought was pretty, you know, that caught your eye at all? Like, is there any redeeming concept or factor of this movie that you enjoyed? Like one thing.
Yeah, that's the issue. Like usually it's the reverse, where for certain movies that come out, you find difficulties finding a lot of flaws in them. But this one, it's hard to find the positives here, because it's just like, it's also 2 hours long. I thought it was shorter, but it's like 2 hours, and I remember dozing off at one point. Like they were in like the hotel motel or whatever. I don't know what they were talking about. And then I woke up and she was in Peru. I was like, okay, great.
It was
not sure how that happened.
That goes back to the editing. Even there in the very beginning, where it's like, yeah, with her mother dying, there was a really weird edit during the very beginning of that movie. I was like, oh, that's strange.
There were also just like a lot of jump scares, like just loud noises just throughout the movie for no reason. I guess that's just part of her power. She just gets loud noises, like gunshots too. It was so weird.
Yeah, and apparently Dakota Johnson has never really done a movie where she's on a blue screen, which is fair because she is more of the indie actor. She's in like the indie actor scene. Like if you've ever seen Peanut Butter Falcon or The Lost Daughter.
I was going to say one positive I would bring out of this is that if you're looking for a very, very good movie to go watch, I would go watch Cha-Cha Real Smooth featuring Dakota Johnson.
Yes, I was going to bring that up as well. Like, you know, Dakota Johnson's been around forever. She was in the 50 Shades of Grey films. You know, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, which is on Apple TV Plus, it is a very good one as well. Peanut Butter Falcon, The Lost Daughter. You know, she does give us some really good performances. She was in The Office for like an episode or two, from what I remember. But she had commented saying that she never really done a movie where she was doing like a blue screen. And it just, she said it felt like psychotic to her. And I was like, thinking about her track record and like the film she's been in, I can see that. Cause it's like, she was saying there's like a fake explosion going off and someone's like, explosion, you have to act like there's an explosion. And she said that was absolutely psychotic to her. And she was like, I don't know if it's going to be good at all, but I hope I did an okay job. And you can see where her acting chops in this film, it's kind of out of her wheelhouse, because she doesn't show a lot of emotion like in her characters in general, but like this kind of film, you know, it's trying to be fun and quippy, like, you know, as if Spider-Man was talking himself. But she was just very zen, very chill, and it's like it felt like, yeah, like, yeah, I'm here, like I'm doing this movie. And, you know, I'm here to collect my paycheck and that's it. Not saying this had to be the best movie of all time, but it felt like the three girls, that the three Spider-Women were giving more of a energetic performance outside of Dakota Johnson. It's part doing to her character because of what happens with her mom, but even after the fact, it just feels very... It's when she becomes Madame Web, it's like... What are you, Professor X? You know, like she had that Professor X vibes as well. But let's get into our final thoughts and ratings here, because we'll be talking about this forever. I didn't even think we're going to be talking about this for as long as we are right now. But Devin, what are your final thoughts and ratings of Madame Web?
Yeah, final thoughts. I feel like we've discussed enough about this movie already. I feel like we've probably gone over time for what should have been discussed here. Just too many issues. Too many reshoots, too many rewrites, whatever whatever excuses you want to throw out there, it's just not a good movie and not a good experience, really, at the end of the day. As far as the score goes, I mean, it's definitely going to be the lowest we've ever had, for sure.
Oh, man.
I don't know, like...
Lay it on me.
Like a 25, I guess. Like, obviously, a movie was made, but...
Yeah, but at what cost? Because, like, did we need this? Like, was this needed? Because Sony was, you know, they just released Spider-Man 2, came out on PlayStation 5. Even prior to that, we had Across the Spider-Verse. And now we're also getting two more Spider-Man-less movies. I believe they're both coming out this year. So it's like, did we need this? Did this need to be made? Do any of these need to be made outside of... It's like, I feel like you've already hit the requirement. I don't know how many Spider-Man movies they have to make per year, but it's like, this is not working out. And it's between Venom 1 and 2, Morbius, and now this. They need to pull the plug on these. Like, release Venom 3 and Kraven and just be done. Sell the film rights back to Marvel, please. Because it's like, how many times do you have to keep going through this? Where it's like, you're marketing these Spider-Women. You don't see them at all. More than 2 minutes in the entire movie. And I get that they're visions. And I would say that's my takeaway, like positive takeaway. I love the suits. I absolutely love the suits. I love the little visions that they had. And I wish we would have seen more of that.
We never even got a real clear glimpse of what the suits really are. That was the issue.
And that's the issue. Where it's like
hazy, like.
Yeah. It's literally like a hazy dream. And I get that. But it's like, why is this movie called Madam Web? And then you're teasing. It's all over the marketing. It's insane.
And then Madam Web's costume at the end. Oh my lord, what was the glasses? Like, it just looked so rough.
That is her get up.
I mean, yeah, it looks dumb either way.
Oh gosh, Devin, come on. That's like, comic book accuracy. But yeah.
Maybe if she was her intended age, it might look a little better.
I agree there. Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, I mean, they're like, oh, like, what other Spider-Man character can we make an origin movie of? It's like, I get it. I got it. It's Madam Web. We did not need this at all. This movie did not need
it. We said that from the beginning since it was announced. Like,
yeah. That was like an origin story for Madam Web. I'm like, that is so out of left field. Like, Morbius, I would give you more of a pass on Morbius than this.
I don't know. I think they're equally bad. And then El Muerto is the worst. And that might not even be happening.
Yeah, like, they're equally bad, don't get me wrong. But I was like, okay, because Madam Web's not really even like a villain. Because I thought they were just doing villains, you know, like Kraven the Hunter, Venom, El Muerto, Morbius. But then they throw Madam Web in the mix. I'm like, why was this here? I don't know. Anyway, that's Hollywood for you. But I would give this a 20 out of 100. I could go lower. I could definitely go lower. I gave it a half a star on Letterboxd. Actually, I'm going to go lower. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 100. It was not good at all. I will never watch this movie again. But again, we want people to see the movie and form their own opinions. This is just our thoughts and opinions. We usually don't go this long about this kind of movie, but it's just, you know, again, I understand people made this, but it's not resonating with critics or fans. And I think Sony needs a wake-up call when it comes to these types of films. But with all that said, that does conclude today's episode. And if you enjoy what you heard on today's episode, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd at FilmOptics. That is Optics with an X. And don't forget to share an episode of our podcast with a friend, whether it be your mother, your brother, or your significant other. Spread the love for the Film Optics podcast with a movie lover in need. And now, really quick, before we go, we're going to cover some of the new review releases that we have out on the podcast for people to listen to. You can listen to our Bob Marley One Love Man review, which is a doozy. Absolutely loved it. And you can also check out our most anticipated TV shows of 2024 episode and our most anticipated films of 2024, two separate reviews as well, as our Percy Jackson and the Olympian season one review. So we have a lot of things for people to listen to. You know, we're getting into the early season of movie reviews. You know, it's still February, but we're still out here fighting the good fight. And for upcoming films, you can look forward to our Dune Part 2 review, which is going to be amazing. We might be doing some X-Men 97 as well. There's a lot of stuff happening in March, guys. It's going to be insane. So definitely the next big review that we're going to be doing for sure is Dune Part 2. That'll be coming out the week of Dune leading up to Dune Part 2. Probably the Monday before it hits theaters. So definitely check that out. And again, thank you all for listening. If you enjoy the show, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and stay connected with us by following us on Twitter and Threads for the latest updates. That was Devin, and I'm Christian, signing off. And remember, life is like a movie, so go out there and make it a blockbuster.
Peace.